If you have a prayer book handy, then I invite you to open it to page 853. That's the red book with the cross on it. If you've been around the last few weeks, you may remember that we have been going through a series of homilies about the Holy Spirit, and that for an outline for our series, we have used the Catechism, which is at the end, near the end of the prayer book, and it's a section of the prayer book that has questions and answers that talk about the basics of the Christian faith. And so we have been following the section that talks about the Holy Spirit. And so this weekend is the last in this series. We're going to address the last question under that heading about the Holy Spirit. And so I'm going to ask you tonight the last question in that series and invite you to return the response that you see written there on page 853. Our question tonight is, how do we recognize the truth taught by the Holy Spirit? Amen. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. So we recognize truths to be taught by the Holy Spirit when they are in accord with Holy Scripture. I like how we have this section of the Catechism about the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit can be really challenging to understand. Right? It's this idea that's kind of airy and kind of out there. And yet the Catechism brings it back home for us by connecting the Holy Spirit to something familiar. Right? The Scriptures. The Bible. For those of us in the Episcopal Church, we think of the lectionary, right? Our sequence of Scripture week by week. Or if you follow morning prayer with the St. Thomas podcast or on your own, then we have the daily lectionary that follows a sequence through Scripture. We think of the Bibles that our grandparents read, and their grandparents read before them, right? The same canon, the same measure, the same standard that has been passed down from generation to generation for longer than St. Thomas has been in existence, and that's a pretty long time. And so we have the Scriptures connected to the Holy Spirit, and yet the Scriptures. I want to suggest that tonight, at least, that when we encounter the Scriptures, there are three very common ways that we encounter them. Sometimes we encounter the Scriptures as boring. Sometimes we encounter Scriptures as challenging. And sometimes we encounter Scriptures as comforting. So I'd like to talk about those three things tonight. The Scriptures that sometimes are boring, sometimes are challenging, and sometimes are comforting. And I'm going to start with boring because that's where most of us tend to start. Right? The Bible, I should have brought one with me tonight. It's under there. The Bible is a big book. The ones you have in the pews there have little tiny print. It can be hard to understand sometimes what's written in there. It's hard just to open up to a random page and say, oh, I get this. The stories in the Bible can seem unfamiliar. Now, the Holy Spirit is not boring. And the Holy Scriptures are not boring either in and of themselves, but sometimes they can be difficult for us to understand. Sometimes Scripture can seem far removed for us, having been written in other languages, in other times, and on the other side of the planet from where we find ourselves today. They are written to a different context. And so it can take us time and effort to learn how to engage with the Scriptures. Sometimes we may even need to do some extra reading to see the backgrounds, to understand what this is written to, and to be able to put together what it means before the Scriptures begin to speak to our own lives. So the scriptures are often difficult to understand, and if we just leave it there, then yeah, that can be boring. Right? I think about when I have occasionally found myself within a group of people speaking a language that I don't speak. Right? And I want to be friendly, and I want to be sociable, and I want to be engaged, but after a little while, it's just exhausting. And it's boring, because I have no idea what's going on, but they sure seem to be having a good time. Right? And we can sometimes feel like that same kind of outsider when we approach Scripture. And, you know, for some of us, we might want it to stay that way. Because there come times in our lives, if we study Scriptures and we spend time hearing God's Word, that Scripture will make the transition from being boring to being challenging. The Holy Scriptures can frequently be challenging. Right? If God's Word speaks to our lives, then very often the word that is spoken to our lives is going to be strange and new and uncomfortable. We might even find the Holy Scriptures to be demanding, right? Asking of us things that don't seem natural, things that are countercultural, things that are different from the people around us. They can seem like they are threatening things that we hold dear. We have some great examples in our scriptures today. Right? Our second reading was almost the entire book of Philemon. It left off the last four verses, and I don't know why, because the last four verses are pretty hilarious. So you might want to check out Philemon when you get home. But if you don't have any idea what's going on, then it's just this random letter from Paul. But if you have the background that Paul helped Philemon become a Christian. And Philemon, as a Christian, was also one who enslaved people. That was kind of a normal thing in his context. And one of the persons that he enslaved ran away, and this person's name was Onesimus, and Onesimus somehow ended up in Paul's company, and somehow Onesimus became a Christian. And now Onesimus has decided, and I don't know how Onesimus decided this, because it's kind of crazy. Maybe Paul told him, Onesimus, you're kind of crazy. But Onesimus has decided that he wants to go back and make things right with Philemon, because he's a Christian now. And he knows that Philemon can punish him, can perhaps kill him, right? Crosses were meant for slaves. And yet Onesimus chooses to go back, and so Paul says, well, at least let me write you a letter telling Philemon how dear you are to me now because you are a Christian. And it's fun to read Philemon because Paul never tells Philemon, oh, you need to set him free. He implies it, right? He exercises all kinds of pressure in there, but he says, I'm leaving it up to you. And it's a little humorous to see the interplay there where Paul is leaning on him, but not demanding of him. And Paul is saying, when Onesimus comes to you, you need to recognize him as your Christian brother. Now imagine what Philemon is thinking. Philemon, who has grown up accustomed to the institution of slavery, right? Just as we might be accustomed to paying someone to clean our home or to, you know, check us out at the store and to be willing to have them do that for low pay. Philemon is accustomed to slavery, and Philemon knows that the normal, right, appropriate thing to do is to punish a runaway person. And in fact, Philemon knows that all of his neighbors are watching because they have skin in the game, literally, because they too heaven-slaved persons. And if the people who work for me see that Onesimus got away with running away, well, they're going to go too. So the pressure is on Philemon to do the right thing. And Paul's saying, what's really the right thing? And Philemon is here stuck in the middle, challenged by this word of scripture from Paul. I mean, it was a letter. We have it as scripture. And Philemon needs to figure out what to do with this. And so scripture can be boring if we don't know what it's about, and we're just reading words. Scripture can be challenging. It will be challenging if we begin to understand and to see how it might touch our own lives. But then scripture, after it has been challenging to us, after scripture has done its work in us, after scripture has transformed us and changed us and shaped us to be conformed to the ways of God that it is telling us about, then scripture can become to us comforting. And again, we have a beautiful example in our gospel reading tonight. Right? Luke just kind of lays it out there, where he has Jesus saying, anyone who does not hate their father, their mother, their wife, their child, their brother, their sister, their very own life. If you do not hate these things, you cannot follow me. If you will not carry your cross, we're not talking about a little piece of jewelry, right? If you will not carry your death, your torture, your being disdained by others, then you cannot follow me. This is challenging stuff. Right? And it can almost be boring if we're like, what in the world? And then it can become challenging when we realize that Jesus is telling us about the place that, asking us about the place that we have Jesus in our hierarchy of priorities. Right? What's most important in your life? Where does Jesus come into your life? Is it like, you know, just right there under the cell phone? Is it, you know, maybe just a little bit above the in-laws? Right? Is it under your spouse? Your children? What is the place of Jesus in your life? This scripture can only become comforting to us when we have experienced in our lives, when we can look back and see, you know what? I have placed Jesus first, right? When push came to shove and I had to make choices, Jesus came first in my life. I made choices and did practical things that reflected what was first in my life. And I noticed that Jesus came out on top. This scripture is challenging to the extreme until we learn to surrender. And then it becomes comforting because we can look back and say, oh, Jesus really is my Lord. I am a disciple of Christ. Now, I don't know about you, but like I said, the Bible is a big book. And there are, you know, plenty of places that I can open up to, and it might be a little boring. Right? I'm not getting it right yet. It takes some work to try to get into it and understand what's going on. And nearly all of it, when I get into it and understand what's going on, is challenging to me, right? Because as I discover myself in the world, relative to most people, I am still rich, and I am still powerful, and I am still privileged. And so the prophets, including Jesus, spoke to people with these conditions. And it's challenging. There's a saying that's been floating around, at least for a couple decades, that to the privileged, equality feels like oppression. to the privileged, equality feels like oppression. And when I hear Jesus telling me that every person in the world deserves, as much as I do, to have basic necessities of life, like food and clean water and clothing, and, I don't know, freedom from political oppression. That's kind of challenging. And that's okay, right? That's why I'm at church, so that I can learn and so that I can grow, so that I can be transformed. I'm at church so that maybe I can meet someone like Onesimus, right? Paul's brother, who risked everything to come back and to offer to Philemon this grace of drawing closer to Jesus. Maybe I can meet here tonight an Onesimus, somebody who has successfully been transformed by some challenge, so that some piece of scripture has become to them, instead of challenging, comforting. And I can learn how to follow in their footsteps and to be likewise transformed by the Holy Spirit and to be comforted by scripture. Our gospel reading tonight is hard, right? It says difficult things. Let's see, it concludes with, "So therefore, none of you can become my disciple if you do not give up all your possessions." Ready? Yeah, me neither. And yet, I'm not ready to give it up. Right? I'm not ready to discount it. I mean, I kind of want to, like, stand up here in the pulpit and say, "Well, you know, Jesus didn't really mean..." Right? Or, "You know, the Bible doesn't really want you to..." But, right, when I was ordained, I made a vow. And I said, "I solemnly declare that I do believe that the Holy Scriptures of the Old and New Testaments are the Word of God and contain all things necessary to salvation." And so, as we listen for the Holy Spirit to speak in our lives, we'll know the Holy Spirit is speaking when what it says is in accord with Scripture. And Scripture, when we hear it, it may be boring, but when we really hear it, it's going to be challenging. And then, when we really, really hear it, it's going to be comforting. Because the Holy Spirit will be doing that work inside of us, transforming us into disciples. That is the work of the Holy Spirit. Transformation. Changing us into disciples of Jesus Christ and into children of God. So how do we recognize the truths taught by the Holy Spirit? We recognize truths to be taught by the Holy Spirit when they are in accord with the Scriptures. Amen.